Good morning. I have no financial relationships to disclose today. So I wanted to give you a brief overview. I want to talk to you a little bit today about the impact of low accrual to cancer clinical trials, in particular in adult cancer patients. I'll also go through some of the recruitment issues that we're finding that are arising, and I want to give you a schema of our Georgia Core Research Network and how we've used the entire state to help enroll patients in clinical trials. We've had some, we call them enrollment wins. We like to think they're wins, particularly since enrollment is so low in clinical trials for adults. And I'll go through some of the recruitment strategies that work for us. So just to start out, cancer clinical trials have brought enormous advances in the areas of cancer prevention, treatment, and diagnosis. However, only about 2 to 3% of adults are treated through clinical trials, and that's in contrast to the nearly 90% of pediatric cancer patients that are treated through clinical trials. These low accrual rates have a negative impact, often prolonging the duration of clinical trials, delaying the analysis of important results, or leading to early closure of important studies. And I always like to add underrepresentation of certain populations, because if you have such a low participation rate, minority participation is extremely low compared to that low rate. So we work to address those issues at Georgia Core. This impacts the quality of cancer care that we're able to provide to our cancer patients. Not having demographics represented in clinical trials impacts the generalizability of the study. And NCI did a study, and they found that close to 90% of the participants in their NCI-sponsored studies were white. So that's a really big issue when we look at the disparities in cancer care. So some of the issues with recruitment in adult cancer patients, in particular in the African-American community, there is a perceived interference with daily life issues. Who's going to take care of my child? What about taking time off of work? A lot of people have had to take on part-time jobs that don't pay if you don't work. There are issues with being aware that clinical trials are even an option. The Harris Interactive survey in 2000 found that only 8 out of every 10 cancer patients knew that clinical trials were a treatment option, so that's a huge knowledge gap there. Also, comorbidity factors and trial design impact the availability of appropriate trials. So a lot of times you'll have the, you have the eligibility criteria for a clinical trial. Not everybody is eligible for it. And a lot of times, you know, you'll have heart disease, diabetes, like if you have those issues, then you're not able to participate. So we've been working with our physician investigators to include that as an inclusion criteria. Don't exclude those patients out, because it's highly likely that people have other issues if they have cancer. Also, socioeconomic issues are a big concern. Like I said, whether or not they have job insurance issues. A lot of trials will cover drug, but they don't cover some of the other testing, so you'll need to have insurance to cover that. And also the issue of distance. Studies suggest that having to drive over 20 to 25 miles is a barrier for patients. And oftentimes, I'm going to show you a map of Georgia in a minute, but oftentimes, you're way beyond that 20, 25 miles. So to ask someone to enroll in a trial is pretty scant. So here are the aims of our clinical research network. Our network began in 2006. It started off with 41 very eager oncologists. It's now increased to include 2/3 of all of the oncologists in the state of Georgia, which is about 362 people. Our network aims to promote research-driven improvements. We work to expand access to and availability of clinical trials. We work to increase the patient participation, particularly in minorities, and we target areas where there are high minority populations, and we try to increase the education there. We design and conduct the clinical trials to answer pressing questions, and we also address those comorbidity issues in the trial design. We bring the epidemiologists and the biostatisticians into the group with the medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, so that we have a very thorough group of people working together. We use technology and exchange information to improve efficiency. That helps to reduce the paperwork, case report forms. All of that stuff can get boggled down, so we use a web-based service to handle all of that. Our research network features a method of linking community oncologists with the academic researchers. This connects the qualified research centers with clinical trials. And when I say qualified, they have the research infrastructure in place to conduct clinical trials. If they're about 50% there, we will work with them to get funding and get clinical research nurses and data managers and staffing. The Cancer Coalition actually has a Distinguished Cancer Scholar Program where they recruit scholars from around the country into Georgia to help improve research initiatives. We offer those web-based services, like I said before, and we serve as a single point of entry for contracting, budgeting, and management of multi-site trials, and I'll show you the schema in a second. We do the training for clinical research nurses. A lot of nurses, some of them don't really know about clinical research, so they're not as eager to join the team, but once we do the training program and they realize that you have some support throughout the state, they're more eager to become clinical research nurses. So here's a schema that I came up with to try to describe a little bit better what we do. But Georgia Core, we have these master clinical research agreements with the research sites that gives them access to our trials, access to the education programs, access to the working groups, and we have three working groups right now, one in breast, lung, and prostate cancers. And then those are those multidisciplinary groups that I was describing before. The first map shows how one trial can be offered, let's say at Emory University in Atlanta. They're our primary academic partner. And we have the 53 sites throughout the state. So by contracting with us, we're able to put those trials instantly through all of those different sites throughout the states. The academic partners, of course, they love it because they can get the patients that they need to get the accrual goals that they need to have. And also industry and pharmaceutical companies love it because they don't have to send their reps all around the state to enroll patients in trials. So here are some of the early wins. Our first study in breast cancer, we had 55% enrollment of patients were Black patients. We did a lot of work. Go through some of the strategies in a minute, but we really tried to target the African-American community. We took out all of those issues with comorbidity, and we even have a triple negative breast cancer trial, which is really rising in the African-American women. The second trial we had at almost 48% African-American participation in the trial. And our GOG consortium, we're really proud of this. We're the only state in the country that's a member of the NCI-funded cooperative group, the Gynecologic Oncology Group Consortium. It's really, really difficult to get in, especially as a state, but we've managed to do that, and we allow the different organizations that wouldn't normally have the infrastructure in place to go to a group like this and get studies. They come through Georgia Core to get it. We had 22 studies in 2009, and we had 22% minority accrual. So, I mean, that was low compared to our other studies, but the power is a lot higher in these 22 studies, so we were pleased with that. So some of the recruitment strategies that we use were really trying to maximize this research network that we have through our contracting mechanisms. I personally sent out frequent e-communications to the investigators. I called them investigator updates, and we sent them out every month. I talked about accrual goals and reminders of the patients of the clinical trial even existing, because sometimes, I mean, if you have 50 studies going on at your site, to remember to enroll people in this one study is really difficult, so being able to pull that to the forefront of their memory was helpful. We also had patient education initiatives. We worked with the community to design brochures that were specific to minority populations. They were able to see themselves on the cover and hear the stories. We had patient stories about their experiences with cancer, good and bad, so that people really got a chance to see what it was going to be like to participate in a clinical trial. Our research network sites gave me some feedback on recruitment strategies that work for them, and like Dr. Nguyen said, with the patient navigators, they educated and utilized their patient navigators as much as they could. They included them in the tumor board meetings, and they also maximized waiting room experience. They went and talked to patients about clinical trials, even if They were just there for a follow-up visit to a treatment that they had already started. They educated their patients, family members. Like I said, the clinical research process can be a little bit daunting to sit through. A consent form signing can be painful. And if you don't really understand what's going on, you really need your family members to understand and be able to support you through a clinical trial. And like I said, we address the comorbidity issues at the sites. So these are my sources. I really wanted to keep it brief because I wasn't sure. I knew we had a jam-packed presentation going on here. And that's my contact information if anyone cares to contact me. Thank you.